I'm
so good. How are you?
So great. Oh my gosh, you're so cute. Pregnant. Show us the pregnant bump.
This is the bump.
There's the bump. How far along are you?
I've got 4 more weeks. I'm 36 weeks.
Wow.
Good. Yeah.
Do we know if it's a boy or girl yet?
It is a boy. So another boy. I've got a 2-year-old boy at home, and then we're having another boy. Let me go get something to prop this phone on. I'm so excited to be with you. How are you, Dr. K?
I'm so good. We almost had to meet with Kelly when we went to Vegas for the AMSPA meeting, and she is so sweet. We did some beautiful spa day, thanks to Kelly. Mm-hmm. And then her 2-year-old locked her into her closet, or he locked your keys bathroom. In your closet.
Yes, he locked me into the bathroom. So we were unfortunately not able to change and meet up with Dr. K for a spa day, but she had a good birthday, I think, right?
Yes, it was my awesome birthday weekend. Thank you so much. Well, for those of you guys listening who don't know Kelly Namirov, and her Instagram is Wellness by Kelly, so excited to introduce you. She is a wellness expert. She's also, you're a certified nutritionist, right? And you've done tell us your background so I don't mess it up.
Yeah, no. So I am a certified holistic health coach. So I look at health from a really complete and whole standpoint. So it's about diet, of course, but it's also about your relationships, your stress, your job, all of the things that contribute to how you feel in your body. And then I'm also a Pilates instructor. So,
yes, amazing. One of the things I like best about you is that you make wellness really approachable and practical and common sense. Like, I fell in love with your strategies of doing little mini workouts, even while your kids are playing nearby you, and like just making it much more accessible and real.
So true. I feel like I found that when I had my son, Wes, my first son, that getting in the gym for an hour was just not possible anymore. It was just like not realistic. So 15 minutes here, 25 minutes there, the next day, just staying consistent is so much more important than making yourself like so overwhelmed and overworked with trying to get a workout in. That's just not possible for like when you have kids. And sometimes he works out with me, which is great too.
So cute. I think that what really rung true for me was when you talked about how in your college days that you were totally obsessed with like the perfect body. Going to USC in Southern California, you become that girl that's like so into exercise and working out 3 times a day and nutrition and starving yourself. And like, it was just not working for your body and not making you happy and just destroyed you a little bit.
That's exactly the background I came from. So I love that you brought that up and shared it, because I think that being in Southern California, it's kind of that place that's really rife for that type of experience where you feel like you have to be perfect. And I think there's such a difference between like wanting to enhance what you have versus being super hard on yourself and trying to be perfect. And I know you know that, you know, being someone who works with beauty. So it was definitely something that I had to overcome in terms of a disordered eating or disordered relationship with food and disordered relationship with movement. But now I am in a place where I feel so much better, and it took a lot of work and a lot of self-compassion and a lot of self-care. And that's what I do with my clients. But like I said, there's this huge difference between enhancing what you do have and wanting to like make yourself this like perfect version of yourself. So I know you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think my clients and your clients, they stress each other out. They stress themselves out, this desire to be a beauty perfectionist. I love it, but at the same time, I think it just eats up your soul. You can't please everyone, and you certainly can't be picture perfect. And I think the more that we put pressure on young women to look extremely thin and extremely fit and muscular and perfect skin, it's too much for any one person to handle. So I want to give women permission to just be themselves, to like go bare and understand that you're allowed to eat and that your body needs a certain amount of food and nutrition and also just a certain amount of free living in order to thrive. You're really not going to do well if you don't, you know, have that well-balanced outlook.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that I love those points that you just made. Like, giving yourself nutrient-rich food is so much more important than like calorie restriction and like making sure that you have that balance in your life. Like those things are going to make you beautiful from the inside out when you have like less stress, really, really great, real whole foods. Those types of things are really going to make you look beautiful from the inside out, have that glowing skin, that beautiful appearance. And I know that's, again, exactly what you work on with your clients. I need to come into your office for a peel as soon as I'm done being pregnant. That's like my first
What step. Have been your pregnancy changes like with between the first pregnancy and the second? What have you done differently this pregnancy?
This pregnancy has been a lot easier in terms of like I'm a lot less worried. I am much less like freaked out that something is going to happen. I'm really like happy and content and just ready. I'm also putting off things a lot more. Like I have not started on the nursery. I like just packed the hospital bag in my first pregnancy. I had the hospital bag packed at like 20 weeks. I was like ready. But I think I am also a lot more aware of taking really good care of myself and making sure that I take time for rest and all of those things, because of having a toddler run around, I have to make sure that that is a priority, because I know I'm not going to sleep in like a month.
So, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But in terms of pregnancy skincare, I always recommend vitamin C is really safe and wonderful. I love a glycolic wash. I think that's great for gobbling up dead skin cells on the surface and giving you a glow. And then, of course, hyaluronic serums are wonderful. I definitely take patients off of retinols, benzoyl peroxide products. So if you're pregnant, you should not use Retin-A-based products and benzoyl peroxide. So it's a time when you, in some ways, your skin changes for the worse a little bit, but you can at least maintain with vitamin C and doing like little exfoliations and mild superficial alpha hydroxy peels and things like that.
I am using... In both of my pregnancies, I've used your vitamin C. I'm obsessed with your vitamin C. To me, there are so many vitamin C products out there that go on and they're kind of, they like get like this like weird kind of like peely texture after you have them on your face for a while. And yeah. Yours doesn't do that. But I didn't know about that about glycolic. So I'm glad that we're talking about this, because I would like, I'm definitely going to use that now to get that.
Sure. I'll have
to get those dark spots.
You can do the glycolic wash, and then we have these really good 20% glycolic peel pads, which you use once or twice a week at bedtime, and then just sleep with it. In the morning when you wake up, your skin is so fresh. It's really good. Melasma is the other big thing that, of course, everyone suffers with pregnancy. So you should not be using any hydroquinone-type products during pregnancy, but certainly right after. We can put you on bleaching pads to lighten hormonal melasma, and then I do think the vitamin C is a good treatment for keeping you light, bright, and tight.
Dr. Yeah. K, is the hydroquinone okay in breastfeeding, or do you have to wait till you're done with that too?
Yeah, you should wait till you're done with that too.
Okay.
I do like microneedling a lot too. You can definitely do that while pregnant. That's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Really nice boost of circulation. When you're pregnant, you're a little more rosy and flushed just because of increased circulation. So I think microneedling would be awesome too.
Yes, I'm coming to see you for a peel as soon as I'm done. Dead skin off. And I don't really have the melasma, but I definitely have noticed the dark spots getting darker. And I think that that's probably something that a lot of people deal with during pregnancy. So
that's for sure. So I love, Kelly, about your philosophy is how you eat fruit first thing in the morning.
Yes.
And I always think about that whenever I'm in a nice fancy hotel and be like, I'm going to be like Kelly and have fruit.
Yes, I always do that. No matter where I'm at, to me, it's like the best thing for digestion. And I remember you and I were talking about this. It's like you notice such a difference rather than having it later on in the day. It really helps things like... Just like celery juice, that's something I do every morning as well, to like be super consistent with your digestion, keep things really regular. And I mean, you and I both know that digestion is also really important for skincare, for like the health of your skin overall. So I remember a time in my life where my digestion was so bad, and it was also when I had the worst acne. So
it's true. I think the fruit is amazing because it gives you the fiber that you need to poop regularly. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you don't poop every day, that your skin is not going to be good, because you're going to retain so much of the metabolites and breakdown products, and just you need to process that and get rid of the bad bacteria in the colon. And the fruit is a prebiotic and a probiotic to get you really good colon health.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's so, so important. And I noticed, like, for myself, again, this is not everybody, but for myself and when I've talked to you and a lot of my clients, it's like when you eat that fruit first, fruit is so water-based, so it digests faster than all of these other foods that we eat later on in the day. And if we have fruit later on in the day, it can kind of feel like we get bloated and uncomfortable because the fruit's trying to digest, but there's something that we've eaten that's like a protein or a fat that gets in the way. And again, it's not a philosophy that everyone believes in. You have to do what works for you, but I've seen some really amazing results by having it first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I alternate with intermittent fasting, and then definitely on the weekends I'll enjoy some fruit, because fruit is just like God's gift to humans, and you should enjoy it with the antioxidants, the fiber, and all of that. The digestive juices that you create when you eat fruit are really great for you. Celery juice, too, is a diuretic. It's a natural diuretic, right? Yep. Love celery juice, and I really think it has great immune benefits, too.
It does, and that's one thing, too. Like, I noticed my skin get better. I noticed my anxiety get better. There's just been so many things that since I started that practice, like, 5 or 6 years ago, that have really improved. And it's, again, a holistic approach. It's not just, like, drinking celery juice is automatically going to make your life, turn around 100%, right? It's like also focusing on your stress and focusing on your work-life balance and all of these other things, but it's definitely a practice that has absolutely improved my digestion, my hormones, and my overall health, for sure.
I noticed that you're talking more about hormones on your feed. I love that, because so many of my clients have PCOS, polycystic ovaries, and they don't even know it. And they'll come in and they'll have symptoms of like chronic acne breakouts, cystic acne, hair growth, facial hair growth, and like all the classic signs, but they don't know that they have PCOS, or they don't know that hormones can be playing a factor. So what made you get into hormones, and what are some good starting steps for women to like check their profiles?
I love this question. So for me, what made me get into it was my own health story and my own health journey. So I really struggled with my thyroid and my adrenals. Back in my early 20s, I burnt out my adrenals from too much stress and too much restrictive eating. And then that burnt out my thyroid. And I didn't even have like an autoimmune condition or anything like that. But it slowed down my metabolism. I gained weight. My hair started falling out, all of these things. And after I became a health coach, I was like, I want to take a course that's specifically about hormones so that I'm confident and comfortable helping other women get through it. Because so, like you said, so many women deal with different types of hormonal imbalances, whether it's PCOS or thyroid issues or whatever the case may be. And so I think what a lot of women don't know is that a big chunk of it, like, of course we have genetics, right? But lifestyle and the way we live really plays a role in how those genes are expressed. And so if we treat ourselves really well, we try to control our stress, we do things like meditation, we journal, we slow down, we calm down, we take the weekends to relax and restore rather than being super busy all the time. We eat really whole, nourishing foods, we move our bodies regularly. Like, those simple things make such a big difference. We drink a lot of water. Like, so many people forget like the simple things, and they make the biggest difference. So I think that that's really key. And then if you're talking about what to start with in terms of testing, and what to look for, if you're not on the birth control pill, I would do like a female sex hormones panel where you're looking at things like your FSH, your AMH, your estrogen, your progesterone. I would look at your stress hormones like cortisol. I would look at a thyroid panel, because those types of things give you a really good picture of your overall health. And then things like your fasting glucose will tell you what your metabolism is looking like along with your thyroid. So there's a good number of tests, and that's a lot of the stuff that I share on my page, but just a general like top line idea is are some of those things. What do you recommend if you have someone come to your practice? Do you ever have them do lab work?
I do, especially for our hair loss patients. We always start with a full comprehensive metabolic panel, a CBC. I like iron studies. I honestly think that like 50% of our hair loss and other issues are from having had years of heavy periods. You become so anemic that your body just can't catch up. And you 100%. Start this hair fall and hair shedding. So women are chronically iron deficient. You can't even
take it all the time.
Yeah, iron pills are so hard to take because they're so constipating. So it's just this really difficult problem. I even have a couple of close family members that had to put on IV iron infusion. And this is normal, healthy young ladies who their blood tests were all checking out normal, but you look at their ferritin stores, which is
how much low, right?
Iron, so low, like in the tens, where it should be like 200. And these are normal kids that would pass a physical and, you know, health check. And you wonder why you're having hair fall. It's because women are chronically iron deficient. Regular multivitamins for women don't have iron in them unless you're on a prenatal. So that's a simple thing to start, is like a prenatal or a good hair, skin, and nails vitamin like ours is really good.
Cannot like agree with you more, or like say that that is such a common thing I see with my clients too, is that low ferritin, and they're like, oh, well, my iron level is normal. And they don't understand why they're getting 200-300 hairs falling out every single day. And it's like, okay, having a ferritin level of 19, even though it might be in the normal range, isn't normal.
It's not normal. So I think starting with blood work is so important. And then just thinking, everything you said about cortisol is so true. You don't realize that the fight and flight drive that your body is in day in and day out wears you down. And modern society, I think one of the reasons we all retreated into our homes with COVID and people are scared to come out again, is because suddenly the cortisol turned off and you realize that you didn't like that edge in your life, like that sharpness and the edginess, the danger, the feeling of danger. So I think that all of us have chronic cortisol. And here in the pandemic, we got to understand what it meant to release the cortisol. But, you know, we do have to exist in the outside world and come back. Do you have tips for coming back to a little bit of cortisol?
I know. It is seriously so true. And I feel like it's actually like a good thing now that some of us are coming back. Because I can tell you, for me, being pregnant and having to be home a lot more than usual this last year was actually giving me like more anxiety without having that social connection. So I think it really just depends on the person. But the one thing I'll say, and that I've noticed with a lot of my own clients, is I think a lot of us came into the pandemic being overworked and overwhelmed, like you said. And it was like, okay, now we're home and we have a lot more time and things feel a lot more simple. But then being in that place where you're working from home, you kind of lose boundaries, right? And so work can email you or message you at any time, and you're expected to get back to them or whatever the case may be. And so going back into normal life and having boundaries set up where you're like, okay, this is the time that I work from 9 to 5. And then unless it's completely urgent, because now we have things like Slack or Voxer or these messaging systems where we can see it pop up on our phone and like, no, okay, unless it says urgent on it, I'm not going to check it till tomorrow morning, because this is my family time. This is my me time. This is my time to restore my nervous system and relax. One other thing that I really like to do, and I do myself every single day, is after work, I will literally just either be in my car or in my office, and I'll take some essential oils in my palms and either do like a 3 or 4 minute breathing exercise, or I'll go in and take a bath before I even go to interact with my family, to kind of have this reset from the day. Again, to just like really honor myself and give myself a little break before I go back into the craziness of home life.
All of you young moms out there, you have to listen to that. You have to sneak in the side entrance of the house.
Yes.
The kids can hear every little thing, and the dog too, and they can even smell that you're home. But yeah. Sneak into your room and decompress. I like to change out of my germy hospital work clothes and then take a really nice relaxing shower or something to reset your brain that you're home. And you should be fully present. It's moms have to change uniforms. We go from the work uniform to the home uniform.
100%. You are dead on. Okay.
Love that. But I like the idea of an essential oil in the car. And that's such a good one. And it's probably nice warm temperature and you just sit and breathe in and just reset your brain.
Yes.
A great idea.
Simple things make the biggest difference. That is what I have found in the years of healing myself and now working with like hundreds of women.
Yeah, what you're doing is very special because you have the ability to change people's lives just by showing them what you've done with your life. Like you, having known you for a while, I remember when you were graduating college and you were like, yeah, very, very perfect USC girl who was like super stressed and everything had to be just right. And then
yeah,
you blossomed into like someone who really understands what's important, which is family and love and nourishing yourself. And
right.
Yeah, so I've gotten a lot of practical wisdom from this woman, even stuff like she'll turn off her phone for a whole day and feel like a new person. And just,
oh my gosh, yes.
You guys should check it out for sure.
And that goes back to those boundaries too, right? Like just turning our phone off. Sorry, we have a visitor.
I love that.
But yeah, like having space from your phone, that's a boundary in itself. So I think that just noticing what actually feels good to you versus what doesn't, because everyone's going to be different. Just because Pilates works for me or just because, you know, working 9 to 5 works for me doesn't mean that's going to work for you. So what works for your lifestyle and noticing the things that don't feel good and letting them go. It's as simple as that.
Well, there you have it. You guys should definitely check out Kelly's page and just learn some good tips, get some inspirations and do a little meditation every day. It's really hard to, but when I look at your page, I realize that I have time in my day. I can do some little, there's some little things you can do to change yourself. Yeah,
absolutely. And you do it one, if you do it one step at a time, one small thing at a time, over time you look back and like 5 years later, it's just like everything has changed. I look back at myself 5 years ago and I'm like, wow, I don't even know that person. So yeah, thank you for taking the time today to chat with me. I so appreciate it. I miss you and I'm excited to see you after this baby comes.
Definitely. Wish you so much luck with this pregnancy and I know you're going to kill it in the mommy world. And for now, guys, I want you to check out Wellness by Kelly. And you can find me on my Instagram, Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces. Both of us working to evolve beauty culture so that women can feel like they have a place without having perfection. It's necessary to just live and enjoy this short life that we have. Love you to the moon. Take care from Vegas.
Love you. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you.